Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Next Monday, the House of Commons will vote on whether or not to accept a damning report which found that Boris Johnson deliberately misled Parliament about pandemic rule-breaking at Downing Street. The former British Prime Minister could have faced a 90-day suspension and a by-election had he not resigned his Uxbridge seat before the Privileges Committee report was published. And responding to that report, Boris Johnson declared it to be the final knife thrust in a protracted political assassination. So what next for the man who hasn't lost an election in over 25 years? Well, Will Walden is former chief counsel and communications director for Boris Johnson, and he joins me now. Will, thank you for joining us. What do you think that the answer to that question is? What will he do now, given his response to this report?
Morning, Claire. What he'll do is what he's always done, which is to sort of shout about Trumpian injustice. I think you had it right. The report is damning, and I think it's also ruinous politically for him. I think a comeback politically is almost impossible now. But we understand this morning that he's signed a deal with the Daily Mail, and he'll become a columnist, and I think he'll be a huge thorn in the side of Rishi Sunak, and he'll complain constantly about the injustice or perceived injustice that he feels has happened. But the truth is, when he saw this report last week, he got pre-sight of it. I suspect that the reason that he's run for the hills is that he knew it was curtains. And doing so allows him to shout about this injustice, to continue to shout about it, to hold tight to his own version of the truth. And that version of the truth is essentially, it's not me, Gov, it's you, Gov. I've done nothing wrong. I was hard done by. This is a total sham. And it's the public, not Parliament, that should judge me. But the problem is, in saying that, he's actually proving his critics right. You mentioned that, you know, this by-election in Uxbridge, he's actually ducking democracy and accountability by resigning, so he doesn't have to face that by-election. So he's taking away the public's right to judge him, the very public that he said should be judging him. And truthfully, it's classic Boris. It's all very deliberate. He would have lost that by-election, and surveys here in the UK done last night by YouGov, the polling company, suggest that 69% agree with the findings of the committee, that he knowingly misled Parliament, and 68% thought the punishment was about right or not harsh enough. In fact, 45% of people think it's not harsh enough. And that's not a winning position with voters. So what you have to understand here is, you know, why is he then gone? He's gone because if Sunak loses the next election, Johnson wants to still be able to say, see, if you'd stuck with me, I would have won the general election. I'm an election winner. Like you said, Claire, it's 25 years since the voters of Clwyd South rejected him, and that's the only time, 1997, that he's ever lost an election. And he's now able to say, you know, I've never lost an election. Now, it's hokum because he would have lost the election, but it's classic Boris. And there's two important points to make beyond that. In a sense, this report matters not a jot. Whether you think it's fair on him, or it's appalling, or you're somewhere in the middle, Boris Johnson willingly submitted himself to the process. He didn't oppose the membership of the committee, which is a Tory-heavy committee, 4 Tories, 2 Labour, 1 SNP, and he only started moaning when he realised that the whole thing was going south. And what he did yesterday was complain vociferously in a 1,700-word polemic about democracy being subverted. But unfortunately, he's the master of doing just that. As Prime Minister, he rode roughshod over Parliament, and he trashed it. And there's only so long that you can kind of pull the elastic band at both ends before the band snaps and smacks you in the face. And that's what happened to Johnson. Final point. He had the opportunity to be straight with the British people when all this first surfaced. And he wasn't. You know, if I'd been around then, and if he'd asked me, you know, and I'd have said, you've got to get out there and get in front of this. He didn't do that. And his demise is nothing to do with what he says it is, which is Remainers or Brexit bashers or the blob or the establishment. It's fundamentally, unfortunately, the fault of a man who stopped listening, whose political radar has kind of come off in his hand. And that man is Boris Johnson.
Did he ever listen when you worked for him? I mean, this person that we see now, is he the same as the person you knew when he was mayor?
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not. Now, you know, critics would argue, and I'm not a critic. I'm an old friend who unfortunately just fundamentally disagrees with the way that he's approached government, and you know, and told him so in private for many years, and I now tell him so in public. But the point is, he has changed. The critics would say he's always been like this. He's always had this bad relationship with the truth. He's essentially a liar. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that the Boris Johnson that I knew at City Hall was a far more contented person. And he was in a job, frankly, that suited him more. It was a kind of prince over the water, presidential type job where there wasn't a lot of accountability, and he could be a great spokesman for London, for the people of London. And to be honest with you, he did it really, really well. But I think, unfortunately, you know, my view is that all prime ministers eventually become a kind of worst version of themselves. With Boris, it happened very, very quickly. And I think you have to look at the three incarnations of the support that he had with him in number 10. You know, he asked me three times to come and join him, and I said, unless you sort what A, B and C out, I'm not coming. And I didn't, because he never did. And the problem is he's become embittered, he's become more petty, he's become far less self-deprecating. He was always great at being able to laugh at himself and the like. And all that stopped when he entered number 10. And that's not just the pressure of the job, it's the way that he's handled the job. Now, he will argue, I did all the big things right. I got a COVID vaccine, I supported Ukraine. And those headline things are true. But to be a great prime minister, you have to be in charge of the detail. And leadership is about saying, stop. You can't do this, you can't do that. And I'm pretty sure that Boris was fully aware that what was going on in Downing Street was, you know, fairly normal. He probably thought it was within the spirit of the law, even if it was within the letter of the law. But the problem is that any other prime minister that I could mention of recent years, a Tony Blair, a Gordon Brown, a David Cameron, they would never have allowed that. Or they would have said, hang on a minute, guys, I only need 30 people in this building to run this country. We want to be the same as everyone else. We're telling them they've got a lockdown. We've got to do exactly the same, behave in exactly the same way. He didn't do that because he likes to be loved, and he didn't do it because he's not a disciplinarian. And he also didn't do it because he fundamentally didn't really believe in his own lockdowns. So, you know, partly it's kind of like, I can't believe people are saying all this about me. You know, I've tried my very best. But there's also part of him which I think is sort of convinced himself that he didn't do anything wrong, you know. But I think deep down, if he was really examining his soul, he knows that he screwed up.
And Will, you mentioned what he might say if Rishi Sunak loses the next election, but do you think that he will still harbour any political ambition at that point?
Well, there's only one political ambition that Boris has got, and it's why it made him a bad prime minister, and that is that he wanted to be prime minister, but he didn't know why. You know, for years, from early childhood in his World King vision, he believed that, you know, he was destined to take on this role. And when it actually happened, what was extraordinary is he's spent years thinking about being prime minister, but actually had made no preparation for doing it. He didn't really have a plan and a strategy, and I used to, you know, privately criticise him greatly about it. I used to say, you know, you're not in a position where you can lead with authority if you don't know what you stand for. And he hadn't prepared for the job. And I think that as far as political ambition, you know, this is the question that all journalists ask. And I understand why they ask it, because it's an interesting story. You know, is he going to come back? The point is not whether he's going to come back. It's whether he's good enough to do the job. And the answer, unfortunately, and it pains me to say because he's an old friend and he knows my thoughts, you know, and I've fallen out with him about the way that he's handled things. The fundamental problem is he's not up to the job and didn't demonstrate he was up to the job. So the idea that people would give him another chance is for the birds. Mm-hmm. What he wants is to do only one thing, is to be prime minister again. I think that has disappeared, and he knows that that is the case. He doesn't want to be leader of the opposition. He's probably fundamentally, you know, too lazy to do that. You know, it's not exciting enough. And if he can't get back in this side of the next election, which has now been cut off for him, he's done what he's done and he's resigned. But never think that Boris Johnson is going away. He is in command of an enormous megaphone, and it's him. And his megaphone is completely outsized compared to the level of support that he has. And he will continue to trumpet that megaphone. You know, signing a column with the Daily Mail to be a columnist will be the worst possible outcome for Sunak and the Conservative Party, because every week he will do what he did with great success at City Hall, which is to lob barbs and rocks at the government in charge. He did it with Cameron and Osborne from City Hall. He'll do it again from his, you know, nice mansion home in Oxfordshire, against Sunak. And it'll all be about, you know, you should be doing this, this and this. But the fundamentals are Boris Johnson didn't do this, this and this when he was in power, and he's lost the right to have that power. So what does he do? He has, frankly, you know, it pains me to say, two massive hissy fits. One written 1,400 words last week, another 1,700 words, yesterday. And words are his great his great asset, his great communication asset. He's very good at words, and he will continue to pen them, and he will continue to be a pain in the neck for the Conservative Party.
And what will Rishi Sunak do about that megaphone? How will he handle it? Because we don't even know if he's going to turn up in the Commons on Monday when they're asked to vote on this report.
Well, it's very difficult, isn't it, for Sunak? Because, you know, the truth is, I think what we got was an insight into, you know, a growing confidence in Sunak last week when he basically fronted up about the honours list and just said, look, Boris Johnson came to me and asked me to do something which was not right, and I said no. And I think that's an interesting departure from the way Sunak has been, which has been trying where possible to sort of, you know, keep him on board, certainly publicly. And you know, the brave thing to do from Sunak on Monday would be to walk through the division lobbies and vote for this report and consign Johnson to the history books. The fact is, it's kind of irrelevant, the vote, because he's already resigned. And what you'll find is that, you know, probably the length of the sanction has emboldened a few wavering Tory MPs to actually support Boris. There's a small rump who will definitely support him. Most will either stay away or vote against him. So it will pass and he will be sanctioned. And for Sunak, it's a real test of his authority. Does he find an excuse not to go and vote, or does he vote for the sanction itself? And going forward, I think, you know, if Rishi Sunak was asking my advice, which he's not, I think the best thing that he could do would be to ignore all this. But Boris will undoubtedly play up to this. He's got a megaphone and he will use it in the coming months.
Will, thank you very much for your time. That's Will Walden. Now, coming up in the next hour on the programme, data centres gobbling up electricity, Tara Mines and poll concerns for Fine Gael all will be discussed in the Friday gathering. Is it ever acceptable to bring tuna or eggs in a lunchbox to work? That and all the workplace habits that can drive some people right over the edge. And Ireland's Euro qualifier against Greece tonight will go live to Athens, all on the way in the next hour of the programme.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.